it saved an innovation in the religion because the companions did not ask such a question, nor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us anything concerning this matter. And this is the scheme for all of the qualities of Allah. If somebody says to us, what, how can we believe in the hand? How is the hand of Allah? We say the hand is not unknown linguistically, but the style of Allah's hand cannot be rationalized by us. We don't know the style of it. But to believe Allah has a hand is mandatory. And this, your own, your question is an innovation in our religion. So this is the scale for all that goes for all of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe in the attributes of Allah without tanqeed, without takyeed, without tahreef, and tahreef is applicable to the text, and ta'teel, the people of ta'teel, they apply this ta'teel to their creed. And the people of ta'teel, they apply the tahreef to the text. Having said that, we finish at this point, inshaAllah, and that, what we said is an introduction for chapter number 40, which we cover it, inshaAllah, next time we meet. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. If you have questions, we try to answer them within the remaining 5 minutes until Isha prayer.
You say that all of the
I did not say what that was. Eternal. Say that Allah is omnipresent, that means He is everywhere. That is deviation in understanding the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that Allah is over His throne. That means He is not sharing with us the same place that we are at now. And I stop at this, but I believe I have thought about the sifa of al-ma'iyya of Allah before. When we said al-ma'iyya of Allah is haqqun ala haqiqa. But that does not mean if Allah is with us, this witness, if we want to devise a word or innovate a word in English, this witness, that does not mean Allah is sharing the place with us. Because al-ma'iyyah could take place without sharing the same place. Especially in the Arabic language, the word ma', ma' mean with. It denotes different meanings concerning how is used. For example, you say so-and-so with his wife. That does not mean they are in the same place. It means they stay together. It's still near. They say in the Arabic language, we have walked and the stars with us. Meaning they were walking under the stars. It does not mean the stars came down and they were walking together. So al-ma'iyyah does not denote by necessity sharing the same place. So we say Allah is with us, but He is not with us with His that, because He is over His throne, but He is with us without sharing the place with us. And the implication of this witness is that Allah sees us, knows what we do, hears what we say, and so on and so forth. Having said that, we conclude inshaAllah this session. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرا. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. What are the implications of believing in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We said believing in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean we have to believe in certain things concerning believing in the name. What are those issues?
Are you referring to the attributes?
No, the question is very clear. To believe in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean for you to believe in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We said in that chapter to believe in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means first that all of his names, you have to believe that they are sifat. Then Allah's names are synonyms and antonyms. And then we said the names of Allah, you know three types of meanings. You know what I'm talking about now? What are those three types of meanings that they are denoted from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal?
Three types
of meaning.
Mutabaqa. And the partial meaning. Tadamu. Tadamu.
Tadamu.
Partial meaning. And Al-Ijam. Al-Ijam.
Okay. Can you give us an example of the name that has those three denotions?
The full meaning of Al-Fala, everything. That is that his creation.
It is his creation.
The ability to create.
Is not his creation. His creation, we are his creation. Al-Mutabaqa, did you know first the that of Allah?
No.
The self of Allah. Al-Khalid denotes that the that of Allah, and it denotes the attributes of Al-Khalq, of creation. This is the Mutabaq. Tadammu.
The that and the attribute of Khalq only.
This is what we said, the that or the attributes of Khalq. Al-Mutabaq. In Al-Tadammu.
Either the that or the attribute of creation.
Okay.
And the by necessity would be in and Qudwa.
Yes. What does it mean al husna?
Perfect perfection.
It's a word that has perfection but not the highest level of perfection. Can it be a name of the names of Allah?
No.
Why not?
All of Allah's names are His sister.
Why?
Because Ta'ala is perfect and all his names have the highest level of perfection.
MashaAllah, you must have evidence from the Quran that all the Allah's names are perfect. Do we call him Allah Al-Makir? Is one of his names Al-Makir?
One of his names, but when you say Allah is Makir, you don't think that is Makir.
So is Makir a name of Allah?
No.
Yes, I know, but is it the name of Allah? But is it the name of Allah? Do you agree with that?
No.
What is it then?
If you can describe Allah with the name of Allah, but you cannot call him Al-Makir.
Yes. So you describe Allah that he is Al-Makir with those who practice Makr with him. But Al-Makir is not a name of Allah. Similar to that, Al-Mutakallim. We can inform about Allah that He is Al-Mutakallim. But nevertheless, we cannot consider Al-Mutakallim in one of His names. You understand? What does it mean the names of Allah are synonyms and antonyms? Speak to the microphone, please.
Names of Allah are synonyms, implies that all of the names of Allah are for one entity.
Yes.
For that entity. And antonyms, they all have different meanings, but they still are referring to one entity.
So they are
separate meanings.
Antonym, a reference to meaning. Synonym, a reference to what are the four criteria by which we have to believe in the attributes of Allah?
Believe in the attributes of Allah without resemblance, without silence, without suspension of the meaning, and without altering of the text.
So, suspension of the meaning, the creed, how the people believe in those texts. We said Allah's attributes are affirmative and negative. What are those two in Arabic?
Sifat al-Subutiyya.
Which one is which?
Sifat al-Subutiyya is the affirmative and al-Salbiyya is the negative.
Okay. We said of Sifat al-Salbiyya comes into two formats. What are those two formats of the Sifat al-Salbiyya?
The two formats are categories of the Sifat al-Salbiyya are that one denotes praises, perfect praises, and the other one is only used to...
You are on the right track, but we want the sifatu, the negative, some of the general negation.
General and specific.
Right. Negation.
The general is...
The general, what does the general negation imply? Okay. And the specific, why we have the specific...
Use the specific to refute a claim.
To refute a claim, such as?
such as Isa, even Marvin is alayhi salam, is son of Allah.
So say, as the people claim,
as the people claim that he is the son of Allah.
So Allah repeated that. Is it the attribute of deficiency? Is it polite to negate those attributes of deficiency to be of Allah in a specific negation? Like what?
It's not polite to say, to refute a claim, or to refute to say, like, for instance, that Allah is not a criminal. Because...
Is he?
No, Allah is not a criminal, but it's not polite just to say, like, we just in general conversation, say Allah is not a criminal.
Why not?
Because there's no claim that he is a criminal, that he is a criminal. So just to say that is not polite.
Why not?
Because you can only say, you can only...
No, because there is no praise when you do so. When you go to me, when a person says a statement, it's not a feat. This is not a praise full of itself. But all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denote praise. So therefore, to negate attributes of deficiency without a reason in a specific style does not denote any praise. Do you understand? This is why we say the general negation, nothing like unto him, nothing is equivalent to him. This is in general, that denotes general faith. What does it mean we believe in the attribute of Allah without styling?
We believe in the attributes of Allah without styling, meaning we believe in his name and attributes without making a picture in our mind, or installing a picture in our mind of how it would look like or be, because we have not seen Allah, no resemblance of Allah in order to come up with a picture of Allah.
So, a picture of Allah or?
Style of how Allah is attributed.
Okay, so why would you not do that? You said three things. You mentioned two of them.
The third one is that Allah comes out of the first part.
So the first one is?
That we've seen Allah.
Who?
The only way we would know is if we had seen Allah and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If Allah would have told us about it and we didn't. And that if we've seen something like unto Allah and there isn't.
Good. Ahsan. So we said of sifatu as-subutiyya, that is true categories, which are before that. Okay, which are in Arabic? Zatiya.
Wafa'aliya.
Fa'aliya. Zatiya mean the self attributes, and fa'aliya are the action attributes. Now, الذاتية is معنوية وخبرية. Give me an example of صفات المعنوية.
هو الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Another word.
The end.
A third word.
Mercy of Allah.
Give me an example of صفات الخبرية.
صفات الخبرية. Like. When his eyes, yeah.
The face.
understand?
In our perception, the eyes, the face, the hands, they are awar. They are part of a whole. Isn't that true? But does that mean hold up when you are referring to Allah's attributes? No? Why not?
Allah is not part of the whole.
Like when the companions asked Malik about how Allah rules, he said, rain is not an ignore, you know how, what it means to rain over. But Christ needs to agree on a life how Allah rules over. And to ask about it is an innovation.
Okay.
Even though just like we see, we haven't seen Allah also, and he has been told us about how his attributes are. We cannot just think, and we haven't seen a copy or an equal of Allah. So we cannot say, just like we see our eyes, and we see everybody else our eyes, but in our body face, we cannot say Allah's eyes are so
unfair. Okay, that's good. But we want it to be in more specific to the Khaliq. What is the implication if we say, just like our eyes and that our hands are part of us, if we say the same meaning holds up for Allah, what is the implication?
He's saying that Allah is like a creation.
What is the resemblance? The implication of that is that people are resembling. But we say the first criterion by which you believe in the attributes of Allah without resemblance. The mere fact that our head is part of a body, is a jariha, is a limb, that does not mean Allah's head is a limb. Because when a people thinking like that, that means they are falling into resemblance, falling into conceit. Clear? Okay, having said that, inshallah, we move on to the chapter number 40. Whoever denies any of the names and attributes of Allah. The author brought this chapter to show us that denying the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has serious implications to it. And the implications of denying the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disbelief. But that does not mean, we do not want anyone to understand that those sects of Muslims who do not accept certain names of Allah or certain attributes will not say they are disbelievers. Because we always make a difference between the general statement and to apply those statements on individual cases. So those who make ta'wil, they make ta'wil, but it's actuality, it's tahreef, it's altering of the meaning. But they do that and they think they have evidence to do that. So there's a lot of misunderstanding on their part. So when we say denying the names and attributes of Allah, it's not believing in Allah. That does not imply we are saying those who do that are not believers. We have to be very careful on how we understand what a person says. And that is a mistake of many people. They will hear a statement from a certain individual, and they carry on the understanding of this statement to be something else that has not been said by the speaker. So here, the first ayah, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ مَتَابُ. And they deny the attributes of Ar-Rahman. Say, He is my Lord, there is no deity but Him, upon Him I have put, in Him I put my trust, and to Him is my repentance. So in this ayah where it says, and they are denying the attributes of Ar-Rahman, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ, they are not denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are denying this attribute, because we have spoke in other sittings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Muhammad, if you ask him who created the heavens on the earth, they will say Al-Aziz wa Al-Alim. So they affirm the attribute to be for Allah to be the exalted and to be the knowledgeable. But they rejected the attributes of Him being Ar-Rahman. Also, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, if you ask them who created them, they will say Allah. So they accepted Allah as the name of Allah. They accepted two of His qualities, Al-Aziz, the exalted, Al-Alim, and knowledgeable, yet they denied Ar-Rahman. So this ayah shows us an evidence that those who disbelieve in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the implication of that is disbelief in Allah azza wa jal. The second hadith that was brought in this chapter, the statement of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, where he said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ, pay attention to what I'm saying. The statement of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, where he said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. هل هذا مرفوع؟ أو موقوف؟
هذا موقوف.
لماذا؟
هذا الأخر من علي بن أبي طالب.
Because this is the statement of Ali bin Abi Talib, who is a Sahabi, so we say this is موقوف in the terminology of Hadith. So this is the statement of Ali bin Abi Talib is very crucial for us to understand what he is telling us. He is telling the people who are trying to call other people to the path of Allah, speak to them and tell them about things they have the possibility to understand. Because the implication of that, if you tell the people things which are true, but the people are not having the mental ability, the spiritual growth and development for them to understand it, they are going to reject it. And by rejecting it, they will be indirectly saying Allah and His messengers are not saying the truth. So this is very important when we are making da'wah to people. Even though what we may be saying is true and correct, that in of itself is not enough backing for us to tell people things that they have no mental development, no growth yet in the da'wah to understand it. So we have to give the people and build up their knowledge to a level that they can understand the issue at discussion. So the reason why the author brought this hadith in here is for us when we are to show us that when it talks about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we have to discuss this issue in a language that people can understand. If I want to make khutbah on Friday and start talking about sifat al-zatiyya or sifat al-subutiyya or al-salbiyya, we're going to find that people are not going to go with the program. And some of them might say, what are we talking about? This is not from Islam. Thus they will be indirectly not believing Allah and His Messenger. So this is a very important principle that we have to establish in our methodology in calling people to an Islam or calling people to the da'wah of the truth. The da'wah to be upon what the Rashid predecessors were upon. The third asar and also Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu wa arda'ah وروى عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن ابن طاووس عن أبيه عن ابن عباس أنه رأى رجلا انتقضه لما سمع حديثا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصفات